Get ready here, folks, just a wee second here. Even planned for the night here. The wife's printed me out some stuff, so it should go well. Just want to thank the church for the privilege of being up here tonight, just to share with you what the Lord Jesus Christ means to me. Basically, I'm only up here tonight. Testimony's not about what I've done. It's about what Jesus has done in my life from the start and where he's took me from to now. So everything tonight, all the praise, the honour and the glory goes to him. Any mistakes are my fault. I'm David Walker. I said to my wife earlier, you know, did they have to know my age? And like, yeah. So I was in my 30s up to 3 years ago. All right, so we're a wee bit older now. I'm married to Nicola and we have three children. Sophie and Katie, twin girls of 13, and David, who's 11. And grew up in the local area. Grew up where it was me, my mum and my dad and my sisters, and then when I was 5 years old, tragically my dad died and it just wrecked the house basically. So it's quite hard even now today just to even talk about that. So we moved on, family members helped when we were growing up. My granny and granda helped a lot too with my mum and supported and helped me just basically stay out of trouble. I was only male in the house at that time, so it was a case of keep David out of trouble. And then my mum remarried to Bobby, who's here tonight too, which is an absolute miracle of God's grace on its own, that he's sitting in a church, unreal, what God can do to people. Yeah, married, and she's going on now with the Lord herself. So that's a wee bit of background about me. Just going to tell you how my journey started. Not the most comfortable journey, not up here to, it's maybe but tough to, when you, I sort of wince whenever I read some of the stuff and I'm like, well, you know, that's where I was before God saved me. That's the person I was. So I'm not going to try and hide from you that everything is great in the garden and I was a real good person, because that's not the truth. You know, I was a sinner needing God's grace just like everybody else. So start off with how I started in the journey. It actually started about 6 years ago when my wife Nicola was invited to a baptism service. Now, we didn't do church. The kids came here to Sunday school, but we didn't do church at all. We'd done nothing to do with church. I believe God existed, but that's not good enough. Even the devil and the demons believe that God exists, but that's not good enough. So we just went through life, and as I say, Nicola was invited, and I never thought nothing of it. Away she went. She came back home, and she says, I'm going to go back. It was 2 weeks later. She was going back again, but little did I know, God had spoke to her in the first meeting. This is a girl who never done church, never done anything to do with church. Her sister did, and she didn't. And she went in and heard God's word. So she says to me and come back, never suspected anything. And then 2 weeks later she went, and she was saved at that meeting. I think it was in the lost sheep, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a lost sheep. And that was God speaking to her. So she accepted there and then. If only everybody in here tonight would just do, when God speaks to your heart, just accept him. That's how simple it is. So she came home that night and she was just not the same. There's something going on. And we just had a wee conversation. She says, I'm coming back again. And that was it all the rest of the night. It was a quiet night in the house. So there was something wrong when everything was quiet in the house that night. So I got up for work the next morning and she followed me around. I thought I had an extra shadow the next morning around the house. She followed me and was going to the front door for work and she brought me the wee food bag. And I just said, what's going on here? And I stepped out the front door. She handed me the food bag and says, I got saved last night. The door was shut and the door was locked. But actually, I can laugh now, but when that door shut, the anger and the rage that came into my heart was unreal. And I got into my car and I drove to work that day. And that's when I started running from God. That's whenever I knew that God was coming. I don't know why I knew that or how I knew that, but I just knew and I started running. Folks, it tells us in Luke 15 about the prodigal son. It's not about the prodigal son, it's about the prodigal God. That young man ran from God, but he knew to run back. God was standing waiting for him. And I just wish then that I had just run to God instead of from him. Because he always standing waiting for you. And that's what he does, your wonderful Saviour. And if tonight, if anything else, just accept him as Lord and Saviour of your life. You'll never look back. So I started running then from that. And Nicola started going to church. She tried to get me to go with her. She was up in Carmony Presbyterian. She says to me, come up. I'm like, no interest whatsoever. Went to one or two meetings, done nothing for me. She started attending church more. Every Sunday she started going. And coming in from work then, you seen the Bible opened. We didn't own a Bible. The Bible was opened, and she really started getting their word. It was all right, but you come in, you could hear Christian music in the house. I done my nut in. It would come in, as soon as you come in from work, you're like, can I turn that down? Dinner's on, and the fam was on, and she had it louder than the fam. I don't know why that was, but it was certainly blasting. Like, and I'm like, and say, you're trying to be nice, could you turn that down and go and get my dinner? But, you know, I really hated it. I'm just telling you where, and it's not for glory, I'm just telling you how much I detested it. I really hated the music. And this went on for a while, and then she continued on there, to say, and I just watched her. I watched her and what she done. That's it. I know we're all not perfectly, but she wasn't bad, like, but things got better. she became a better person. And then, you know, and she'd have talked to you about things, and then I'd have made fun then again. Wouldn't have been very nice to her. But she just stayed calm. I'm like, usually she'd be biting back here and give me worse than what I give. But things started changing. And she started telling me, explaining the Bible and bits and pieces about things that had been thrown out of context at her. Because I knew a wee bit about the Bible, like, not a lot, but obviously all twists and scripture and stuff, we're all good at that. She just continued on, and then she started saying to me, you know, the children are down at Abbott's Cross and doing Sunday school. I says, yes, that's right. She says, well, I'm up there, and I feel as if I'm separate from my children. There's something not right here. I'm thinking about it, I'm going to pray about it and see where it leads me. And I just says, love, crack on. Absolutely meant nothing to me. I just thought, this girl has lost her marbles. I seriously did. And I'm only telling you this because this is where I've come from. I says, this girl's lost her marbles. I let her carry on. Next thing, she'd done about 6 months of this, and she came down one night. I'll never forget it. More of a shock to that, I think, than tell me she was safe. She just says, that's it, I'm not coming back. Well, me thinking, as the person I was thinking, yes, this is over. This wee period of this Christianity's over, it's been a folly or something. She says, God has told me to go to Abbott's Cross. And I'm like, my heart just sank within them seconds, because I knew what was coming. She says, I need you to take me down to get me started. And I went, oh no. And I couldn't say no, because I genuinely knew, whenever we've been together over 20 years, anytime she was going to a new job or whatever, you always had to take her the night before and show her around where the place was, how many doors is in the place, what way the door opened. So I knew this wasn't a bluff to get me to church. So I says, look, right, okay, well, I'll take you down. Now, I'm only taking you down, and that's me. Once you get in, I'm away. So it was September 2013 that we started came to this church. So I had it all planned that morning. All right, okay, we'll go down. Yes, I'll go. Against my will, of course, we came. And I thought, right, get into this church. First thing we'll do is sit back, just right at the back there where them nice soft seats are. And he says, we'll get in and we'll sit there. Well, this is to myself now, because I wasn't telling Neeson's that. And he says, we'll get in and sit at that back there. And the next thing is, that door opened, and my three children run to the front. talk about despair. And I thought, well, I'm not a Christian, like, but I have to, in God's house, I have to behave in the proper way. I can't grab them by the neck and trail them to the back here. Like. So I went with a great teeth smile up front. Hi, everyone. Hi. You know, sort of, and sat down. But that's how my journey started in Abbott's Cross. But I've just left a wee bit out there. Just before that, over the period of 6 months, my three children came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That was through a faithful mother. I can tell you now, as she stood and told me that my children got saved, I didn't care less. I did not care less. I was lost, and I didn't even know it. The blinkers were on, the scales were on my eyes, and I didn't care that my children had been saved. So that's where we were. So we started attending here. This lunatic of a guy called Trevor Glanders, who's here tonight. Thanks for support tonight, by the way. He'll get me for that. I better be quiet because the caravan season's starting, so I better be quiet and down. We started hearing God's word preached faithfully, and I'm like, I don't like this guy. I don't like the word that's coming out of his mouth. So it was here from September 13, and it was about October 13, that when God started speaking to my heart. I don't share this with a lot of people. I don't think I have really shared it with anybody. Nobody really knows. But I was actually in a family argument on October 13. It was quite a heavy argument, and a lot of things were being said in the heat of the moment, and God impacted my heart. I can just describe, maybe people say God moments, I don't know, but there was a calmness come over my heart, and there's a voice in my heart, not in my head, and my heart said, walk away. And I walked in my car, and that's whenever I now realise when I come under conviction from God. That's when I realised something, God is real. That was whenever I realised when I walked away. I got home, I was probably a bit numb. I don't know why I said much to Nicola at the time. I didn't really want to speak much about it. Probably as much my own fault in that argument as anybody else's, but that's where God hit me hardest. That's when he really spoke into my heart, and I walked away from that situation. From then on, I still came here to church. I came in every week, every Sunday with Nicola and the kids. I didn't do a Sunday night. Nicola started doing Sunday nights. Didn't say much to her. Driving about it, drove for a family oil firm, which is away now. Drove for them, and so I didn't say that to her. Went to work every day. I started talking to God. I didn't tell anybody. Nobody in this church knew anything about it. You maybe see people coming in here, you haven't a clue what's going on. I started talking to church, to God during the day when I was driving. My favourite time to talk to God was driving to Whitehead. That's whenever I was talking to God, and I started listening to Christian music myself. I think that's my wife's fault. So it is. One of the first songs, that I don't listen to it now, a song came was Casting Crowns, Who Am I? And I started asking that question, who am I? Why am I here, and what's life about? There's four questions really in life. Four questions in life really is origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. You know, all these people are trying to find all this out, but it's all in God's word. He is the eternal creator. He created everything. And we're going to be with him if you accept him as Lord and Savior. And you wonder why everything's going on in this world. They're looking for answers in their test tubes and everything. Go to the Bible. It's history already that's happening in front of us. So I was going on, driving about my truck, speaking to God, and just, I'm like, I'm not joking you, the times that I had in my lorry, driving about, were unreal, absolutely unreal. The real presence, and I had nobody to speak to, I was scared to speak to someone. And then I just said to the wife one day, I come in one day, and I just says to her, I was in my lorry that day, and I says, look, I'm not right here. Like, she says, what's wrong? He says, my heart was on fire today. Something's seriously wrong here. Like, she says to me, you're under conviction. And I just went, I didn't even know what that meant. I just says, I don't know what, I don't know what that is. She says, no, it's from God. I says, no. And I never looked it up or anything. And I just says, look, Nicola, no, it's, you're not right here. Something not right. And just became restless. It's hard to sleep. But I fought on, still came to church, didn't do nights, just on the mornings, Nicola came. So then I started not telling her, started listening online, started asking her questions. There was one night in particular, there was many a night actually, I was listening online. There was one night I was laying in the bath actually with the phone over at the side, and the pastor was preaching, and I just thought, I'm out of here. I got up, out, and I got dried as quick as I could. I says, this is a night. I need to get saved tonight. I know I need saved tonight. And I got dried, got my clothes on, went to go downstairs and stopped. To this day, it was probably the enemy who stopped me. I knew I needed saved. All the questions come in of the things like challenges of I'm not good enough. which these things are true, by the way. Not good enough. I couldn't keep it. That's another one that's true. And what will people think? So these are all things that started coming into my mind, and this is what come into your mind if you want to become a believer. This is a challenge you'll have in your life with this. So these things, of course, we know they're true, but also the Bible doesn't support them, that we are good enough. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But I praise God that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Because the world is already condemned, but through him that we might be saved. So that was it. We came to a Sunday morning service on the 12th of January, 2014. And the pastor's preaching in 1 John. I wasn't really listening to the pastor. I just came in and just didn't expect much about it. But then, actually at the prayer at the end, it was in room roughly where James is sitting there. And because the kids stayed at the front of the church. Although I've moved back a wee bit there, and as you can see, I'm getting there, getting further back. So it's a steady progress. Just where James is there at the end of the prayer. And I just went, Lord, save me. Now, prayer is important, but my words were a shambles. But listen, I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Words do not save you. It's meaning it with all your heart. So forget about the... And why I want to tell you that is because David, my wee son, was 5 years old when he came down the stairs. They asked his mother how he gets to know Jesus as his own personal saviour. And 2 weeks after that, he came back to his mother and says to her, are you sure I'm saved? And she asked him why. He thought he had no certainty of assurance. Because you said the words and I copied them, mummy. And then she explained, did you mean with all your heart? Now, I believe that that was the devil at his work. And I can tell you now, once you put your faith and trust in Christ, that morning, and I also did that in here, that assurance was there, but doubt started coming in very quickly. Doubt started coming in. But I can tell you now, by the assurance of God, God saves you, God keeps you. And what you do is, you stick to this. This is the Bible. This is God's word, not how you think or feel. It's not about our feelings, it's about what God says. So on that morning, that's the morning I was saved, irrespective of what I felt after. Now, how do you know I'm saved? And how do you know you're saved? It's not the perfection of your life. What direction is it in? Now, I know we're striving to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect this eternity. But what direction is your life taking from that point? And my Bible tells me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things come new. So on that date, the 12th of January, that has happened in my life. These Bible verses I'm reading out now, I didn't know these. I've experienced these. And do you see when you experience something and then find it in the Bible? Your faith, like, multiplies by 100. And it becomes realer. Whereas if you had a read before and then, oh, I didn't know that. I've experienced these verses, and so has every other believer in here. And that's the beauty of God. He experienced these verses. So on that morning, I was saved on the 12th of January by God's grace. Because it's all God's work. It's not our work. It says in Ephesians 2, 8-10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about. For we as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, two good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And that bit there, we are his workmanship. It's not us. It's he does the work. So that was me saved on the 12th of January, with all my doubts and failures. But God accepted me. He took me as I was. You know, just before I actually tried to clean myself up, before I came to Jesus. That's just crazy. That's just so stupid. I try to clean my act up, but come as you are, and then he starts to change who you are. So saved, that was dead on. Home I went. Nicola just came in home from, she didn't say much, but she was like probing about. She just thought maybe something had happened. And she says, are you already? She says, dead on, thanks, yeah. So she sent David in. Well, daddy, you all right? She made dead on, son. She says, you sure you're all right? I says, I think so. He says, I says, son, I think I got saved this morning. I should have says, I know I got saved this morning, but anyhow. But we continue on that. So my journey's a bit, I'm a bit of a slow burner. That was over 5 years ago. I'm not one of these boys that started and jumping and shining lights. I didn't really know what had happened. I just knew something had changed. Started slowly. I started that slowly. It took me 2 weeks to tell anyone. And that's how slow a walk that I was on. And Nicola says to me, if you not told your... Oh, the first person I had to tell was my mother. She says, have you not told your mum yet? I says, no, no. So I rung her, done the Carly thing. I rung her one morning, because before Nicola got fed up and told her herself, I rung her and I was out. I says, Mum, I've something to tell you. She says, what is it, son? I says, I saved her the other week. And you know, she turned around, she says to me, straight away, you've somebody very special with you now. Now, my mum was in a backslidden state at that time. So even them words of encouragement from her, she was more encouraged to me on the phone than I was to her. Praise God that she's now gloriously restored just over the last year or so. So that was the start of my journey. Just because you're not up shouting of who Jesus is, just get on quietly and get on with it. You know, I wasn't one of those people. I'm still not today. Even getting up here today scares a life right out of me. I'd rather just, if somebody wants to talk in a wee group or something, I'm happy enough. I like all that. So, let's see what we're going on there for now. So you say to me tonight, maybe I just want to get a point across that being saved, I was saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Not anything that I have done, it's everything that Jesus done. And it was only faith in him had done it. And the best example, just before I go, I just want to give you an example of what saving faith is. It's about Jesus. And the best example I can give you is a thief on the cross. There was a thief and two thieves on the cross with Jesus Christ. One of them was a mocker and didn't believe. But the other one did believe. And that day he was taken to paradise with Jesus. Now, that's not about the thief. That's about, to me, that's telling it's faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's what it is. It's faith in him alone that saves you. And that proves to me how you can be saved. Don't listen to anything else. It's only faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about the thief. It was about what Jesus done that day. But if he saves you today, he'll change you. So I just want to leave that with you. And don't, as I became, just started growing as a believer, started getting in with people in the church. I want to just thank the church for your faithfulness to God, for the light that's shining out of here. There's people in here. I don't really want to name you because I want your rewards in heaven. Some of you know who you are, some of you aren't. I came across people that come into my path and have been a real blessing to me. Just want to thank you all for that. And just want to thank you for the word being continually preached, because it's by the preaching of the word is how people will get saved. Just a wee note just before I go. Don't start telling God what you're not going to do. I've learned this the hard way. I told them I didn't want to work with Christians. And I don't mean that lightly. I told them I didn't want to be a church member. And God put up my heart to be a church member and work with Christians. More recently there, I was asked to be a deacon of a church. How unreal is that for me? Like 6 years ago, I was completely lost. And I said no to that. And now I've just started serving them. So don't say no. But more importantly, if he's speaking to your heart tonight, don't say no to him. I just want to thank you and just give all the praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.